What's going on out there? It's Doug Cunnington, and welcome to The Doug Show. I am doing a couple things just a little bit different today. I did a silly thing, and that is when I have a perfectly good studio and a microphone working really well, I change some stuff. So I'm using the same microphone, but I'm going through a different preamp. I actually have a preamp that I'm testing out here, and I think it does sound better, just ever so slightly. And it was like an improvement that was unnecessary. I mean, technically, I've recorded on my phone or in like a fairly inexpensive like recorder, and the tool that I use to master the audio, Auphonic, cleans up things pretty well. But I've been watching all these YouTube videos about guitar pedals and other recording and studio equipment, and one of them popped up. I'll tell you more about it, but anyway, let me know what you think of the audio. If you can't tell any difference at all, that's totally fine. I halfway expect that to be the case for most people as you're listening on your phone, or maybe, you know, one thing I do, I'll have just like AirPods in. I have an AirPod Pros, but I'll like have the phone like setting somewhere in the house, and I'll go around and do things, and you know, the audio is not super important as far as like the 1% better that I'm talking about here. Like I said, I bet you won't even be able to tell a difference, but if you do, let me know. If you happen to be listening on like a studio mic or so studio headphones or something like that, let me know. And today, we're going to be talking about a few things. I have a few updates. I'm going to break one of my pieces of advice for other people, and that's not to complain, but I'm going to try to frame it in, you know what? I won't even try to frame it. I'll tell you a little story about something I was working on. It all kind of comes together. I'll give you a tiny little update on the print-on-demand Etsy stuff that I'm working on. I'll tell you a little bit about my new preamp over here. It is actually from the pedal company that I referenced recently. I can't remember exactly when or where, but I talked about a pedal company called JHS, and they make guitar pedals and different effects and stuff like that. And they have a pedal here. And like I said, I've been watching a lot of their videos, and I was like, this is actually something that I think I could use on a different, several different levels. And I think it could help me out in the vocal area for recording podcasts, but I could also use it for guitar and other stuff like that. And I, what sort of the main topic of today, and that's, you know, the shift in my business and what I want to focus on, really. Like, what do I want to spend time on? And like, what is important to me? I'm looking at it through like a much broader lens than just, can I earn money from this? It's more like, what do I want to spend time on? Am I learning something from it? Are there other benefits, non-monetary, not learning specifically? Is it a social thing? So I'll go into that a little bit. We have a grab bag of stuff today. Hopefully the audio is good. I think I have it in the right kind of spot, but we'll see. Let me know. Leave a comment, shoot me an email, that sort of thing. Before I get into the details of today, I published an episode a few weeks ago, and I was like, ah, my business is failing. And I was happy to see the outpouring of support. Like, hey, Doug, you're a straight shooter. Like, that's why we listen and pay attention to the show, even though I haven't been doing anything super interesting. But those are my words, not anyone that said anything. But I was like, pretty happy to see people. Number one, they do enjoy the show. And they were like, yeah, you're not bullshitting us trying to sell like dumb stuff all the time that perhaps some of my peers are doing, or kind of shitty offers overall. And the thing is, y'all are not stupid, right? Like, if you've been checking out the channel for a while and you've listened to the podcast for a long time, like, you know, things come and go. And I've called people out and companies out. Actually, one of my first videos, I was like, this is like almost 10 years ago now, so just go with me on this. But like, basically people were selling like done for you sites. So niche sites were popular. They were like, well, I'll just, instead of like trying to like build a site and make it successful on my own, I'll just like build sites and get them, you know, kind of like a starter home. It's like a little starter site. I'll get some stuff on there. I'll give them a couple hundred keywords, and then I'll get some articles written, and then I'll set up the WordPress site and all that stuff, and I'll turn over the hosting. So these people will basically, and some of them went on to do other like fine stuff, but they were like, oh yeah, I'm going to sell shovels to the miners in the gold rush versus like trying to, you know, strike gold themselves. It's a fun analogy. I mean, a bunch of these marketers, hopefully I never fucking said that, but like a lot of the marketers out there, they were like, oh yeah, I'm going to sell shovels. And it's like, okay, guys and gals, anyone can say that. But anyway, the point is they would sell these done for you sites. One of my early videos was like, don't buy these sites. These people, generally, not everyone, okay, but generally they don't know what they're doing. That's why they're selling the sites. Like if they were able to build the site and then if they were earning money, then they probably wouldn't have gone that route. There were some legit people that were doing this. And often what happens is someone is like, oh, I'm going to hire a small team. I'm going to hire a few people to work on a thing. And then they had someone like doing keyword research, someone setting up WordPress sites, some other few people doing the writing. And they had like enough capacity in their team where they were like, I don't need sites built endlessly. So why don't I just use the people that I've trained to do the same thing? So there were a couple legit folks out there, but there were some people that basically they were like rebuilding the same site with like small changes and iterations. So for example, maybe they found 10 good niches and they had 1,000 keywords for each one, which sounds like a large number depending on who you are and your experience level. But basically they would have a set of different keywords for these 10 different sites, and they would sell it to different people. They would use like the same WordPress theme. They would change the logo and some other stuff. The names would be different, but it would be like generally the same iteration of a site or a different iteration of the same site. And they would like sell it over and over again. And someone came to me for coaching and they were like, hey, I feel dumb for this, but like I bought this site, I paid $4,000 for it. And then the company, they said, oh, well, we could do link building and we could write articles for you. So I signed up and I was paying them like $1,000 a month. So the person was in for like $15,000. And they were like, yeah, I actually went to look at the other sites that were on the same server on the same IP address. And they were alarmed to find that there were many different sites that looked pretty much the same. There were clearly niche sites, several in the same niche. So the company was literally just like selling the same kind of stuff. So there were some lazy, sketchy people out there. I didn't do that. And I called people out for it. So again, the whole point here is like people were saying that they appreciated my honesty and that I was actually being truthful with where my business is and like what I'm doing and focusing time on. So thank you for that. The other little change, speaking of the business, and you know, if you have a need for a podcast or video editor, let me know. My old VA, Callie, she worked with me for about 6 years. Crazy, 6 years. And I recently needed to let her go because my revenue, like the rest of my revenue, kind of fell away. So if you have, I put her in contact with a couple folks that contacted me already, which is great. But if there's somebody out there that does need some help in the editing, she produced my show for, she's done hundreds of episodes, and she used a tool that I'm going to talk about in trash here in a second. Maybe this is why I'm not a great affiliate. So a company which I'm an affiliate for, Descript, they have a pretty decent tool most of the time, but I'll get to that in a second. So because I let Callie go, she did a fine job, just revenue was down and I can't, you know, look at the expenses and run the numbers and with, you know, any sort of confidence, be like, okay, I'm going to float this for a little while. So anyway, one of the changes is I'm like, how can I minimize the editing that I need to do for this? So number one, never make a mistake. So that's tip number one. Don't make a mistake. But this is how I did it in the old days. Luckily, I'm a little bit better than I used to be, because I used to record it on a recorder, because if I looked at a computer screen, like there's a computer screen and I could see my video down there and the waveform is going around and all this stuff, so it would distract me. But now I'm a little bit more focused when I'm recording a show. So number one, no editing. Take that out. And that'll come back around to the script in a second too. But the other is, instead of like having an editor and having to put the like a video editing software and having to put the intro music, I'm just playing it live. I'm just hitting record and then I'm clicking that thing and trying to make it as frictionless as possible. And I'll do that at the end as well. So that'll eliminate the need for me to put this video in Descript. And Descript, like I said, a fine tool. I've talked about it many times. And the good part, the reason why I have used it, and I'll still use it for a lot of stuff, but the reason why I used it for podcast editing and video editing is because it creates a transcript of the audio, which is super helpful. And then it allows you to edit the video or audio based on the transcript. For example, if there's a pause, then you can easily tell the software, remove any pauses longer than 2.5 seconds and replace it with a 1 second pause. So you could trim things up and make it a little bit tighter. You could also identify filler words and remove those in a fairly straightforward way. Super effective. If you're a professional like me, you will not have too many filler words. Knock on wood. Truth be told, when I went in last week and I looked at my transcript, I realized, fuck, I have way more filler words than what I expected. That does happen when you're just going off the cuff. I don't have a script or anything like that. I have a couple bullet points on a list here. So you end up rambling on. I forget what I'm saying half the time. I start a story and then realize that I didn't finish it. I start telling a different story and I'm literally doing it right now. But the point is, the software is very good. It does a transcript. Because it has a transcript, you can have a summary created. They have AI features in there now. And I actually tested one recently that's like in the beta version. They will basically take your instructions, your text instructions, like a chat AI bot, and you tell it what you want, and then it'll like edit your video and put in transitions and text and some other stuff. It'll cut things out and do some fairly sophisticated editing. However, when I watched and listened to it, it somehow like mangled my voice. So it also, I'm not sure what happened, if that was like some of the studio sound setting stuff that it tries to filter out the unpleasant noises or something like that, but it kind of fucked up. And I was like, okay, this is a non-starter. Like, for me to try to fix the edit would be way harder than just like scrapping it. But that is one of those things. So anyway, it does a really good job on the transcript. And then from the transcript, it can create show notes. It can put all the timestamps in there and that sort of thing. So for today, most likely I will not use that tool, because I was trying to edit just a short portion of a video. All I needed to do was tweak the color settings. So I went into Descript for this one video, literally to change this type of setting. It should take about 30 seconds. I should be able to go in, select the video clip that I want to change, or the series of video clips in this case. It was just like the whole interview, but it was chopped up. So I just needed to highlight all of those and then click update the color settings and make adjustments. Should be very straightforward, and it just turned down the saturation. I recorded it on my iPhone, and for whatever reason, I looked orange, and my wife looked orange or red. We looked like Oompa Loompas. It was very odd, and I was like, okay, should be quick. I'm just going to adjust this real quick. 1 hour later, for fuck's sake, I could not adjust the color. So I went to the help section and they're like, go to this screen and do this. And I'm like, yeah. I mean, I know how to change, like I've used the software for like 2 or 3 years. So there was a recent update. I don't know if they broke the software. And that's one of my complaints with the fast software iterations. These companies, and I don't know, look, half the time it's fucking user error and I messed up and I like didn't do something right. This is such a basic thing and I spent such a long amount of time on it and still never fucking changed the color, right? So I still was unsuccessful to adjust the color. Boggles the mind. Super simple thing that you should be able to do with any video editing software. So Descript is very good at the transcript portion. It's very good with the AI and the summaries and that sort of thing. They even have some functionality to help you, like, I guess, write a script and come up with more ideas and blah, blah, blah. It does all this AI stuff, which I think is, like, totally fucking unnecessary. Like, just be a video and podcast editor. Don't be this other stuff. Sure, like, be able to operate on the transcript so that you can do the show notes and other stuff. But I don't need my video editor to write a script for me. Like I need it to at least do the most fucking basic video editing tasks. I kind of don't need it to be like really sophisticated in the audio like setting area. I think what they're burning their time on though is like all the AI bullshit. Again, some of it can be helpful, but it's like, man, I don't need all those fake videos. Like, I don't need that. Like, I need to be able to like edit a podcast episode. So you won't get a transcript for this one. I'm sorry. There's a handful of people that apparently read the transcript. I mentioned in a couple emails past, like, hey, if you actually read the transcript, let me know because I'm about to stop doing it because I don't know who's reading the transcript, but there's a handful of people that, you know, they don't listen to podcasts, they don't watch videos and stuff like that. So I guess you're reading it, skimming it. I don't know. That said, if you're not on the email list, please hop on the email list. I'll put a link. I think, I really need to update the lead magnet and stuff like that in there. It's like, oh yeah, you can get all my templates for Amazon affiliate websites. It's like, when was this created? Like 6 years ago? And that's the exact answer. Yeah, it was like 6 years. It's like 6 years ago. It's been a while. I haven't updated it. And that's where we are. Anyway, so Descript, sometimes there's bugs when they push out new software and I'm getting to be an old guy. So when something changes, I'm like, where did they move my button? Like, why did they move this? There's probably... maybe a reason, I don't know, but I don't know where the button is in your fucking software support. You know, it's an AI bot, so it doesn't actually give me any help. And then when I go to your support page, it's the old stuff. You haven't updated it for the new version that you have. Again, sorry, I'm an old guy now, so this just kind of happens, and I hope those kids get off my lawn. Up next, print on demand with Etsy. So I'm getting a little bit more savvy with it and getting more ideas. And I see inspiration often and I have ideas for these, just t-shirts in general, even stuff like this. I'm wearing a Joshua Tree National Park and there's a simple design and, you know, it's a cool shirt. I bought it from the park and something like this, like I could totally design something like this. So I put together a few shirts for my other podcast and the thing that I've been waiting for, I ordered about 5 samples in the last week and I got one of them back. A couple more should be coming in the next few days, but they are print on demand. So it takes a little while to get here. The one that I got was a hoodie And I think like my cost is about $50. It's not cheap. It might, it's like $48, $50. And I was expecting it to be like a little bit thicker. It is quite soft and it's like a, it's a thin fleece material. So it actually feels pretty good, but I think I was expecting like maybe a, either a thicker material. I'm not really sure, but it's fine. It's just, I'm trying to think like if I ordered it, because my cost is that. So it's selling for, I think I actually made it like a premium version. So I think it might be selling for like $100. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I mean, part of it is like, we've given away hundreds of t-shirts. So it's like, we've given away t-shirts and stickers and a bunch of stuff. And it's like, you're just buying the shirt to like support the show. So like, that's kind of the idea. I'm not trying to get rich selling a $100 sweatshirt. It's just like, you're going to wear it at a couple things, at a couple gatherings or whatever. A handful of, I mean, it's a very niche thing. It's just like support the show kind of thing. So that said, I was just thinking like, if I paid $100 and I got it, would I be like, this is a shitty sweatshirt? Or would I be like, this is a pretty good sweatshirt. It's just not as thick as I thought. Turns out it's like today that I'm recording this, it's like 95 degrees outside. I'm down in the basement, which is much cooler. It's probably like 65 degrees down here. But just, it's warm out there. So it's not like I want a really hot sweatshirt or something like that. So anyway, I'm getting samples, trying to figure out like what each of the materials is actually like and that sort of thing. And the thing is like, as long as the t-shirts are fairly soft, I think that fits the bill and I'll be happy with that. I do need to create more products. And I think I'm actually just going to do really simple stuff, where it's just like the text of some sort of funny, I can't think of anything funny right now, but some sort of funny phrase or just a sentence or something like that. It's like black t-shirt, white letters, straightforward, or white t-shirt, black letters. Just real simple, and maybe do like limited runs where it's just like, I'm going to sell 10 of these and that's it or something like that. I'm not quite sure. The course that I'm taking, the Giftables, the Gift Lab course, is, you know, more focused on not clothing. And I think that'll be the key. Like maybe I should make journals or something like coffee mugs or high-end water bottles or something like that. So, all right. I told you that I was getting obsessed with, number one, music. So I have been playing, really it's just guitar, and I'm overall music, but like playing more guitar, and I've been playing with some friends and just jamming and hanging out. Really fun. And at the same time, I've been watching a lot of this YouTube channel, JHS Pedals, and they have this product. If you're an audio geek, you may have seen the color box. This is the version 2 that I have over here. I'm not going to pick it up. It'll probably make a bunch of noise if I do. But basically, I can hook up a microphone like this and do some preamp stuff. And in fact, I will turn a dial or two. Like for example, I'm going to turn up the treble here. And it'll sound like a little weird, a lot more. There's probably a little noise that comes through too, but I'll turn that back down. A lot of times having too much trouble is not good, but then the bass, bumping up the bass helps a little bit. So now I'm turning up the bass and it can be too much. So now the bass is like maxed out and it probably sounds a little weird. Like my voice is not really that deep. So we'll bring it back up and it's just boosted just a tiny bit. But anyway, you could plug in an XLR cable, and then I have an XLR out, which goes into my M Audio like little interface. I've had this for probably like 15 years, so I thought it was a fairly cheap unit. It's plastic. I think it is cheap. I think it probably only cost like $60 back then, and you could buy them used, and there's a bunch of different kinds, but basically I could plug in an XLR cable, and then there's a USB input, and then it goes into my computer, and I could use it as an audio source or like for a video chat or whatever. I could use it for an audio source for like GarageBand and record, whatever. It also has an input for a quarter inch. So that's what you would plug in a guitar with. So both the M Audio, I could plug in the quarter inch for the guitar, and that would just go direct in. and there's no like preamp. So it's kind of, it's usually kind of quiet, and then you would have to rely on like GarageBand or some other recording software, or, you know, an amp simulator type thing to boost the levels and give you, you know, the sounds that you're looking for. The cool part is I can plug in the guitar, the quarter inch cable, into the color box, that is the preamp, and then have an output go into the M Audio interface. So then I could like directly plug my guitar into the preamp, go into the audio interface, and then into the computer, which is pretty cool. And then I have like a direct input. And then, for example, I have like a resonator guitar over here. There's two pickups in there. One's a more traditional humbucker, and that's right off the neck position there. But there's also a pickup in the cones for the resonator. And it could be a little bit tinny. I've only plugged it in through that a couple times, and it could just be like too much high end, essentially. And I was like, oh man, like I'll be able to plug it in to the color box here and play with the EQ and shave off, just like I'm doing with my voice here, I can shave off some of the top end, so it's not so like sharp and tinny and harsh and that sort of thing. So it's just something I could play around with. And, you know, it's kind of a fun thing. But when I was thinking, oh, I could actually improve my audio a little bit, I thought that could be a good thing. So Colorbox is pretty cool. I've been really impressed with that JHS Pedals channel. It's super entertaining, and they're so nerdy about everything. They're pretty funny, and it looks like they're having a good time overall. Good news, we actually have a sponsor today. Cloudways Hosting reached out, and I was like, yeah, let's do a deal. So we have an ad read for you today. If you're serious about your online presence, whether you're building an agency, an e-commerce store, a personal brand, or maybe you're working on an app, Cloudways can be a game changer. For agencies, Cloudways supercharges your client sites with zero downtime and scalable solutions that let you focus on delivering results, not managing servers. If you're in e-commerce, their ultra-fast servers with 99.99 uptime mean relentless business growth and no lost sales due to slow loading pages. Even for small to medium businesses, Cloudways offers a simple platform with powerful solutions that just work. And if you're a developer out there, you're going to love their dev-friendly features and powerful tools for easy project management and delivery. Even bloggers and publishers will see lightning-fast speeds and a simple interface to truly elevate their online presence. And they have WordPress. Should be simple to set up. Most people out there are into WordPress. Cloudways takes the complexity out of cloud hosting. They offer dedicated resources, advanced caching, robust security with dedicated firewalls and free SSL, and a pay-as-you-go model, so you're only paying for what you need. Plus, their 24/7 expert support means you're never left in the dark. Don't let hosting be the bottleneck for your online success. Head over to cloudways.com today and see how their powerful managed hosting can supercharge your marketing efforts, elevate your side hustle, and scale your online business. Thanks a lot to Cloudways. Please do check them out. At the outro, I'll tell you a little funny thing that happened while I was recording that. So let's talk about, I guess, maybe the main part of today. I buried it really deep in here. So I have a note here, and things have changed, right? So previously, I had a few online courses, one main course, and I had a few websites, and they were earning money. One kind of cool thing, I earn roughly 50% of my income from websites, and then I earned another 50% from the courses. Actually, both of those are probably smaller. It was probably like 40-40, and then what's left? 20%? 40-40. So another 20% was like other stuff, coaching, but I don't know, just other ways that I earned money. So only 40% was like course revenue. And actually, if I look back, perhaps because I sold a couple websites, so maybe like the lump sums altogether, ended up being more for like websites than actually courses. So anyway, we're tired of the courses, but the thing is I had like a business running, right? And there were different pieces, but the business was running. So the main reason I started the podcast and the YouTube channel was to be like the top end funnel for the courses. So people would come in, they would learn some information, get to know me a little bit. Some people just like to listen to stories at this point because I'm not selling anything. And they would maybe, if they were interested, they would buy the course. So that worked really well. And having a podcast, a YouTube channel, it's a great way to build trust that enables people to take the leap and actually buy a course from you. It makes sense. I mean, I bought courses from people. Actually, I just bought a guitar course this week, but from a YouTuber that I've watched for a few years. And I was like, you know what? I'm pretty sure I'll go through the course, but he put it on sale. And I was like, you know what? I'll buy it. I like what he's doing and I'm going to support him. So anyway, my question here is, I mean, I like the podcast. I like the Doug Show here. I called it Doug Show because I knew at some point I'm not going to be talking about the marketing stuff. And then got pretty entrenched in that, but I named it that way on purpose so I could talk about whatever the fuck I want, whenever I want to. And like, it's my show. So I could do that. And the question is, would you do it for free? So at this point, I have two podcasts, and the other podcast was earning a little bit of money, had one sponsor. They ended their sponsorship, which is fine. Like I think my partner and I, now I'm solo, but when he and I started the other podcast, we were like, we're open to take sponsors if they come to us, but we really want to have freedom to say whatever we want, whenever we want, and we don't want it to be a hassle. And the company that sponsored us, Ghostbed, they were from the audience, basically, like the marketing director, whoever the point of contact, I don't know what his role is, but he was a listener of the show. So he got it and he asked us a few times, like, hey, like I want to sponsor the show. So eventually we were like, all right, we'll do that. But before that, we actually tried like a donation model, which our show just wasn't big enough to actually support and pay for the show. But I was earning enough with the overall business. I basically just like floated that Mile High Fi show for a couple of years. My partner and I split the cost, but we floated it. And then as the revenue shifted and then the revenue went down over on the Doug Show side of the house, I was like, oh, well, at least there's a sponsor on the other show. And the question popped up in my head, because like I could stop doing the show. I could stop doing this show. I could stop doing Mile High Fi. And for Mile High Fi, I enjoy it quite a bit. It's a newer topic area and it's actually pretty easy for me to get someone to come in to the studio and do an interview. And I've been having a little bit of trouble interviewing people on the Doug Show side. Don't get me wrong, I have pitches. I actually have one of my friends, Olga. She's been on the show many times. Actually, I owe her an email. I'm just like, I'm shitty with email and scheduling stuff these days. But like, basically, our time zones are messed up. She's about 8 or 9 hours ahead. And we both like to work in the morning. So I don't really want to wake up super. I don't want to wake up at like 4 in the morning to like do an interview or whatever. And then she doesn't want to like do one in the afternoon. So we're having trouble like scheduling something. The point being, for the Doug Show, I'm like, there's no direct revenue coming in except for today with Cloudways. Give them a look, go to their website, check it out. But basically, the question is, do I enjoy this enough to do it for free? So I have to think about that. Do I like doing this enough to do it for free? I definitely did in the beginning. And I know my friend Matt Giovannisi, he has his Money Lab show. He likes doing his show. I think I've mentioned it before. He gets something out of like talking through like what's going on. And that's why he's doing it. And there's like, I don't know how many people listen, but like, I'm just making it up. I don't know. He hasn't told me how many people listen, but I'm guessing like many dozen, few hundred people probably listen. He had a pretty big following, and a few hundred people listen to each one of these episodes. So it's not nothing. And I have to ask myself, like, is this show still doing what I want it to do? I don't need to sell courses anymore. So it doesn't serve its original purpose. Is there another purpose? And the weird thing is, because I have two podcasts now, like, I get something out of producing content, but am I getting like 2x of that benefit? And it's a broad range of stuff. It's social. I have to think through topics. There's something about just producing content and publishing things on a regular basis and like showing up. But I've done this show for 6 years at this point, and there's over 500 some odd episodes. And I have to question, like, why am I doing it? What do I get out of it? I already have another show. Should I move over to the other show? Same thing with the other show. I'm not earning any money from it. I literally can stop. I could stop doing the show. But do I get something from it? I truly do enjoy the other show. I really like the subject area, and I get to meet new people often or have very deep conversations about something. I never do a solo episode over there. So there's always either a co-host or there's always a guest that I interview. So it's a little bit different over there. So I have to ask myself, now I'm thinking even harder, I could stop both of them. And the thing is, like, over on the other side, like on the My Hi-Fi podcast, it's a financial independence podcast. I'm semi-retired. My co-host, he retired like 8 years ago, 7 years ago, something like that. The people that I interview, they're retired most of the time, or they're about to retire. So the internet's a crazy place. So on that show, if I'm saying, hey, can you donate to help us run the show? If people like the show, they donate. And if they have the time, actually, there's a lot of people that like the show that do not donate. But the internet's filled with mean people that like to leave comments. So we do see comments where it's like, podcasting is cheap. Like, why are you asking for money? Like, this is crazy. Like, we're trying to save money. You're supposed to be retired and wealthy. Like, what's the deal? Why are you asking for money? Part of it is we want to cover the cost. And podcasting, it is relatively cheap for what we're able to do when you compare it to like 20 years ago or 30 years ago to produce like a radio show. Like, we could buy this, these microphones and a preamp, and like, this is like a pretty good studio that I'm in, and it's like relatively inexpensive in the grand scheme of things. So you have those people on the comments saying, why are you asking for money? And I don't pay too much attention to the comments, but I do understand, like, it can be a bad look. But at the same time, right, I do have to pay for, like, the podcast hosting, right? It's like a couple $100 a year, something like that. Technically, the gear that I have is mostly a sunk cost. I didn't have to get the preamp, but I thought it would be a reasonable test and improvement. And I bought it used too. It's not like people are, I mean, it looks brand new. It's not like people throw around their equipment. The person didn't take it to gigs or anything like that. They just used it in their home studio, I think. So basically, it's not too much to produce a show. There's hosting. I am paying for a little software like Descript, for example. But there's also hidden cost, much like owning a home, because I was chatting with someone and they were like, I feel like I'm throwing away money because I'm renting. And I'm like, there's a lot of hidden costs nobody's bragging about with their homes, like getting a new roof. Or I had a friend in the neighborhood, they're like, we have to get a new AC unit. or you have to get a new water heater. Those big maintenance things, they don't start for a little while if you get like a new home, but yeah, there's always something going wrong, and big things are not inexpensive. My dad had to put in a new AC unit, and that was a good chunk of change. I think he said it was like $12,000, something like that. So the thing people don't think about with podcasts, depending on what's going on in the business, but like there's other admin going on. Like I have corporate taxes to file too, right? No one's thinking about that. That's not inexpensive. Like I think this past year, like I moved to a different accountant and it's actually much cheaper. In previous years, when I was earning more money and selling courses, it was like $1,600 to do my corporate taxes. That's over $100 a month. So people are not taking that into account. Now, I'm simplifying some stuff with my taxes and bookkeeping and all that. So I think perhaps next year it should be a little bit cheaper, but like this past year, I paid $600. So much cheaper than the previous years, but people are not taking that into account. And I'm sure there's like five other things. Like I have a website, so I'm paying for hosting there and a domain name there as well. Technically, one could have their website on the podcast hosting site, but I didn't set it up that way. I already had a blog and I was coming from the world like, you know, most of us are familiar with. So I was like, oh yeah, I should have my own domain name and my own website and host my stuff there. So I own that. It's not on someone else's platform. I mean, technically you could like put a podcast like just on YouTube. It's really a YouTube channel, but like you could try that route and like really keep your costs low. But again, I came at it from, you know, running a business and basically like selling courses. So the question is, would I do the podcast for free? That's what I'm doing now. So I'm questioning my previous assumptions and the reason why I started things and the fact I have two podcasts now. So in the short term, I actually don't have an intention to stop producing The Doug Show. Maybe some of you were very worried that that's what this show is going to be, especially the way that I'm stating it here at the end. I'm convincing myself to quit the show, but no intention. I have thought about maybe publishing less or doing shorter shows, which I failed at that today as we're coming up upon an hour. But back in the day, at the very beginning, I produced two shows per week, I think, for like 4 years or something. And then I was like, maybe I just do one per week. And it was glorious. So maybe I'd do it again. I'm afraid though, if I get off the cadence too much, then I'll be real lazy. The other route, I don't think it's really that viable. I think it would lead to me like not doing the show at all. I have a friend who had one of the very early financial independence podcast. It's called The Mad Fiantist. If you look at his feed, you'll see like early, I think he maybe had a more regular publishing cadence, but basically at this point he publishes like one episode per year, maybe two. And it's whenever he wants to do it. It is not a regular schedule. He literally just publishes an episode whenever he wants to publish it. Now, he has a robust website that probably still gets a lot of traffic. Again, he was one of the original podcasts in the space. And because of that, people are still subscribed. And whenever he publishes, they will go and find, they'll hear about it and they'll find it and he'll send out an email and say, hey, I published an episode, and people will go and get it. So I know there's probably still, you know, if he publishes, I bet it gets tens of thousands of listens and downloads, like just like the old days. My show is so small. You know, we have a couple hundred people that download. Thank you for staying subscribed and all that. And then another couple few hundred on the YouTube side. YouTube's a fickle platform in that if I publish something, and people should be relatively like, I've published weekly for many years. So people should be accustomed to like look for the video if they really want to find it. And I think there's a few hundred people that do, and they do watch the video. But the reality with YouTube is like, if you're not doing great on your thumbnail or the title, or it's like something people aren't interested in from a, topic and keyword standpoint, the video is not going to be suggested or pop up on someone's feed, and someone's going to have to go and like look for it specifically. And the fact is, I'm not publishing stuff for the algorithm. So it goes horrible sometimes. I looked back at earlier videos from this year, and some of them, I don't even think they got 100 views, because like it didn't pick up on the algorithm. The thing is, like, it could be a reasonable title. However, it would be a good video if it was like 8 minutes long, but mine's like 58 minutes long because I have a conversation with someone. So anyway, I also look at, you know, would I do the podcast for free? But it's like, would I do the podcast and it is a hobby and I would actually pay for it? Like, do I enjoy doing this so much that I would pay money to do it? And without too much reflection, I think the answer is no. I won't do this if I have to pay money to do it. So sponsors here or there, I mentioned some courses occasionally. There's still a little affiliate revenue that comes in through an occasional course purchase, but it's not like the old days, like selling software or other stuff when we were all building sites and stuff like that. I would send out an email. I would do a podcast. I would say, hey, there's this plugin that I like and it does a good job and blah, blah, blah. And it's $100. You could use it on like 5 of your sites. I'm just making up an example. And I would get whatever, 30 to 50% of each sale. And I would send out an email and I would make like $1,500 or something. I mean, it was crazy. Like, it's just what people talk about. Like, if you have an email list and a good offer, and the thing is, like, you could still do that in different areas. It's just people are not building websites like they were. And like I said, I mean, there was a time where I was paying a lot more to just do my taxes. I was like, it wasn't important for me to try to find a cheaper person, because everything was fine. I was earning money, even though I knew I was probably paying a little more than I needed to. I was like, it's fine. I can just focus on earning more money. So the point is, there were a lot of people earning money from their websites, and they're like, oh, if this software actually makes things easier, I'm happy to pay $100 for that software. So I would send out an email and sell a bunch of them. And it was like that for years. Like, I wouldn't promote everything, only stuff that I actually, you know, typically used personally. Occasionally it would be like software that I like kind of used. I wasn't like in love with it, but I'm like, some people like it. Hell, I even promoted some of those, you know, done for you sites. Cause the thing is, like, people in the audience, y'all were asking for it. I was like, don't buy it. Like, please don't buy this. Like, there's a better way to do it. But you still wanted it. People would be like, where would you buy from? And I'm like, all right, like, if you must do this, then at least buy from, you know, reputable people that at least are, you know, not reselling the same site, like I mentioned before. So that is the question, friends. Would I do this for free? And then further, would I do this and pay money for it? So the fact is, because I have my other podcast, I think I would have to be getting something more from The Doug Show. And the thing is, because it is my namesake, I can keep it going, you know? I could stop if I want to and restart it in the future. I could delete all the episodes in the past and just like started afresh. I have no plan. I'm just making up stuff right now. But when you peel away the assumptions and you start asking the basic questions, why, would you do this and pay, you know, $100 a month to produce a show and spend your time producing it instead of doing something else? And that's a harder question to answer. The funny thing that I was going to tell you earlier is I went on and on about Descript, and I was like, all right, I'm not going to have to edit this episode. And then I remembered I got to do the Cloudways ad. So do check out Cloudways. Appreciate them reaching out to me. I'm glad we're going to be able to work together here. But basically, I was like, oh, I am going to have to edit this a little bit. And then my voice started cracking, and I had to get a cough drop. And I had an ad read prepared, but I kept coughing. And then I kept misspeaking. And then I had to do it like 6 times. So I hope you really enjoy the ad read. I practiced it several times, not on purpose, but just because I kept messing up the whole time. So thanks for checking it out. If you have any thoughts on this episode, if you have thoughts about the audio, is my voice too deep now? Do I sound too sexy? Let me know what you think. Please check out Cloudways. If you dig the show, they support the show. And if you let them know that you appreciate them supporting the show, then I will appreciate you. That was a tangle of a sentence, but thanks for hanging in there. And we'll catch you on the next episode. And if you work at Descript, reach out to me. I'm curious, is it user error? Did I just goof it up? Or was this a bad version and you guys don't let me edit the color anymore? Like, what happened out there? Okay, that's it. That's all. Thank you.